Welcome to Zuma Worldwide's Health Education Conference Call. This recording is for educational purposes only. The name brand products referenced are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate any disease or illness. Health testimonies represent the personal experiences of the individuals and should not be viewed as medical advice. Please enjoy today's call.
I got some great information lined up for you tonight. I could spend some time with a lady who is a great friend to me and a great friend to our company and has been for many, many years. She's a member of our scientific advisory board. She's the creator of one of our great products known as Life's Harmony. She's also a naturopathic doctor and actually spends a lot of her time helping people just like you and I in her practice enjoy more abundant health. And of most recently, spends a lot more time out in the country on a farm growing some incredibly healthy foods. So she's in it from the start to the finish when it comes to the health and wellness journey. And I want to make sure she's on the line with me. Dr. Henrietta Albin, are you there?
I am. Thank you. Good evening. What an introduction. Yeah, organic farming is fantastic.
Yeah, I see there was a part of me that wanted to call you Farmer Albin, but I don't want to disrespect the doctor part. So maybe Dr. Farmer Albin? We'll work on that.
You know, at some point in life, Ken, you just blend everything together because you cannot separate the things that you work with and who you are and your life. You know, I want to know.
And like you were telling me, the life of a farmer, as you're now learning, is not so bad in the spring and the fall, but pretty darn tough in the wintertime when it's freezing outside.
Yeah, how to keep the little, especially when you do four-season growing. I mean, easy for the farmers that take off January and February, you know, show back up in March. That's a whole lot easier. But with this intense call, we didn't actually go to market even once this year because the vegetables freeze. You know, they have water in their tender leaves, and you go to market, and the market is, it's enclosed to some extent, but it's not heated, and it's open to front and back. So not ideal, and things would just freeze. You know, it could maybe do an hour, but that's really not worth it. So I've had a lot of wonderful salads, and we get to be very innovative with our cooking in the winter.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because I have no intentions of becoming a farmer, and you're helping me reassure myself that that's not my path.
There is always a lettuce here for you if ever you're short of lettuce.
I appreciate that. Well, I know you've got some great information lined up for us tonight, so I certainly don't want to take you away from that, but I'm going to let you kick off our call tonight, and obviously I'll jump in wherever you need me to jump in for sure.
Okay, thank you. Thanks very much. This is still February, and it is still heart health. And so I was thinking that we could perhaps speak about the heart, the way we experience our real hearts, and not so much on a mechanical, physical level, although that's part of it, but on an emotional, personal level. You know, Heart Month is often just focused on the physical heart. But when we speak of the highest incident or cause of death in America, we want to point out that the body's heart is truly its own life pulse. It isn't, as I said, not just a mechanical piece, but in ways that many are surprised when they first hear it after having had a heart attack. So coming to self-care this way is a very hard lesson. Regret and fear come with it, and the need to save ourselves, literally. Because we're suddenly listening to those who speak more closely to the need for heart-centered awareness. It is not a joke, you know. Many people have poo-pooed the connection between body and heart. And some people say we don't even know where your heart really sits, the spiritual heart they're talking about. And I'd like to change that a little bit for anyone who believes their heart is just a mechanical device that pumps blood. By the way, the heart actually only pumps about 30% of our circulation. The rest is offered through microcirculation and the vasomotor system in the body. So the microcirculation is the little tiny blood vessels that are responsible for helping the lymph system to actually circulate blood everywhere in the body. And what I think of as the blood as a carrier is also a carrier of kindness, right? I mean, we really are wanting to be kind to ourselves and cultivating the qualities of kindness, loving attention, the ability to listen with close focus to ourselves, to our hearts, and even to other people, being attentive, being present. It teaches others, too, to be more in their hearts because they will remember how they felt when it felt so good to be heard. When really somebody hears us, there is a softness inside of us, and we are often surprised that we have missed the experience for so long. You know, for me, the first time I fully realized I was being heard, it just made me cry because I realized something new had just happened. And out of judgment, the way I grew up, suddenly there was a softness and an acceptance that had nothing to do with how I grew up and everything with who I had become. And when somebody ends up showing you that, that is incredibly powerful. And the peace that can then envelop us lets us be one within ourselves. No, don't worry. It's not going to last. You just have to keep working back at it. However, it is an experience that we can always recall. So what I often work with people is that, has there ever been a feeling in your life where you felt really sure of yourself? Not so much professional confidence, although that's nice too, but you felt at one with yourself. You were in a space where you really had no complaints and everything was going well, and you said to yourself, consciously or unconsciously, I am here. I feel that I am at one. This is wonderful. And maybe even had connections with God or Source or the universe, whatever we call this divine piece of ourselves that we don't always connect with. And I wonder how we could make that a reality. How can we hear our heart's desire? And how can we recreate the peace that envelops us when we're at one within ourselves? First of all, we need lots of reminders. I call it being vigilant of what we think and how we think about ourselves. And the first step in that direction is that you just become aware of your feelings. And sometimes the feelings are accompanied by a statement. I feel this, that must mean that. No, that's not the case. This is something that your mind does. Your mind makes up reasons because it's been taught to have information and knowledge. So it makes up reasons why you feel that way. And sometimes it's just okay to feel whatever the emotion is without making an explanation for it, a cause, an effect, whatever. You know, if he loved me more, then I'd be happier. No. If you love yourself more, then you could approach happiness. But that is not so easy, is it? So when you are heard, when you hear yourself, when you're in a space of connecting to your heart, it is super important that you acknowledge it and that you celebrate it. Remember the feeling. It's really interesting. Deepak Chopra and other teachers speak of giving what we want to receive. And I concur that this practice is a powerful self-command to allow ourselves to be and stay open without bringing ourselves into a conversation with others. So that means more listening. I hope this makes sense. This means more listening. It means listening to the words we speak, our self-talk, our kindness to ourselves, the automatic responses or reactions, rather, that we might have when somebody says something and we take it personally. It means we got triggered, right? It means we have an opinion about that comment or that situation, and that is a very private, personal moment. Can we turn around and take a moment and say, you are okay, I got this, we are fine. Speak to your heart directly, speak to this inner child that is everywhere all the time. And she may have had some really nasty experiences or sad experiences or just plain difficult situations to deal with growing up. We inherit those emotions. And there is an interesting book, and it's not new, it's called Molecules of Emotions, and it is by an author called Candace Pert, P-E-R-T. She's passed now, but it was very powerful when I first read it, and the book still has lots of indicators and notes in there. She talks about the body itself making memories of whatever the situations are that we are feeling. So she talks about the connection between emotions and the body in this way. When emotions are expressed, all systems are united and made whole. When emotions are repressed, denied, not allowed to be whatever they may be, our network pathways get blocked, stopping the flow of the vital feel-good, unifying chemicals that run both our biology and our behavior. This quote highlights the importance of expressing emotions for maintaining overall health and well-being. So with this, I really like the conversation to make the connection between our hearts, our brains, and our gut. And in this way, we learn just how tightly and closely everything is connected. It is super important to honor ourselves, to celebrate who we are. Because, you know, in my book anyway, God doesn't make mistakes, and we are here, all of us. And whatever we may have been told when we were earlier, younger, or what we told ourselves in pain, or all those negative emotions of pain, blame, guilt, shame, and whatever else there may be, these are all fear and they're a lack of love. And in order to be loved, in order to create a heartfelt centeredness, right? It's so beautiful, a heartfelt centeredness. We need to learn to love ourselves. And in all areas, not just because we got a pat on the back or we did really well. And if there are any younger listeners here or listen to this call later, take heart, be courageous, learn to love yourself. There's only this one moment, and it repeats itself over and over, and this one moment where you can connect with your heart, and you can find that moment over and over again, because all there is now. And some people say, yes, but I feel so bad so often. And I can tell you that the reason for that is that we're dragging the past, which is old hat, into this moment now, and insist that we're dealing with it the way it was once experienced. So I want to give you a breathing technique. It's something really simple. And then we get back to the brain and the heart and the microbiome and what we have at Zuma that actually can really make a difference, coupled with some spiritual practices. So self-care is the way we treat ourselves. And it's not about a mani-pedi or even a massage. It's the daily self-talk, how we carry our intentions, our own truth, and where we find our tribe, those like-minded ones who share how they feel, and we discover we feel as they do. Well, it's great in business to have different opinions and ways to work something that you know is challenged. In our private lives, we do prefer the people who think like we do and have the qualities we like about ourselves. In that way, we can mirror each other, and you can actually, if you have close friends like that, do an intentional exercise for your heart. So the breathing first. I don't know, maybe you'd like to take a breath right now, if you're willing, and settle a little deeper into your chair and relax a bit. Just take nice, regular breaths in and out. Now focus your breath coming and going with ease. Feel yourself relax further. And just think of nothing but your breathing. You can close your eyes if that facilitates it. Sometimes I just like staring into space. And so within a minute or two, you are in a new experience. Imagine you can guide your breath to your heart space. And it isn't necessary to be anatomically correct with this. It's an abstraction of a desire, so that when you actually breathe in through your nose, you breathe in, you imagine your lungs, and the heart is right there, and you just feel like you're opening your lungs and you're opening your heart, and you allow that heart to be filled with life force and with peace, and allow it to relax. There is maybe now more space inside of you, and perhaps you could be breathing more frequently this way without even having to interrupt what you're doing. Their mind is able to differentiate, and you can with your body do things and still stay on task. Maybe not in the middle of a meeting, but on a Zoom call or during a listen-only meeting. Rather than multitasking, you could do this small relaxation practice, and this can be extended for as long as you find it useful. The other option is probably contemplation. So when we contemplate our hearts, then we contemplate our well-being and the love that we look for and the love that we share and the love that we were given, all the different kinds of love, including the love of God. So when we consider the old pains we carry, the way our inner child holds ancient pain, even when we think that this was not bad compared to some other stories, you have to remember that each of us has a unique way to process childhood happenings. So there too, if you come face to face with your inner child that says, I don't feel good, this isn't right, trust it, listen to her or him, and breathe right into her and say, I got this, it is okay, let's see what we can do together. The worst thing we can do in any of these situations is to deny the feeling, to assume that it's not important, to run away as fast as we can, and that's not a good idea. So I hope this gives you some kind of impetus, or perhaps even inspiration, to take care of your heart, of your self-love and self-care. Self-care really is honoring yourself, honoring who you are as a child of God, as a child of the universe, as a superior being. And that is not about ego or arrogance, but about the way we were made. We are unique, we are created, and we are unbelievably amazing, absolutely amazing. So I hope this works. So let me see, we were talking, Ken, earlier about including the brain chemicals and where they're produced and our products at Zuma to create a microbiome that is truly healthy. Do you want to have a stab at it?
Yeah, I will take a stab at that, and I appreciate that. It's one of the areas that's intrigued me recently, and for those of you who have heard me speak on other calls, you know this is an area of great interest for me personally because it's something that I had to work through in my own body, and that was an imbalance in my microbiome. There's something that I know, Henrietta, you're very acquainted with it, as I've become acquainted with it in the last couple of years, and called the gut-brain access, where, you know, the gut itself and the brain are connected through really what is like a complex network.
It's the vagus nerve, right?
Yeah. You are correct. Yeah, the vagus nerve, absolutely. And it, literally these two influence each other. And this is more recent development. You know, years ago, you know, this wasn't something that there was a lot of information. There was suspicion about it, but nobody really had any concrete evidence. And it's becoming very, you know, real that this is a real thing. And you think about it, you know, in our modern day society, think about how many people, you know, are not in a good place in their heart, like Henrietta's talking about. And, you know, I don't think it's all emotional in terms of, I don't think it's all, you know, just what's going on in the world or what's going on in the social media scene. I believe, and I think, Henrietta, you would agree with me on this, that a lot of the imbalances that we have emotionally, you know, that lead to things like depression and, you know, anxiety really stem from poor health habits, which end up creating havoc in the gut.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I mean, in my opinion, that's a source.
Yeah.
No, I mean, because again, we've got trillions of bacteria, you know, in the gut, and collectively we kind of call that the microbiome, but they do play a crucial role in regulating things like mood and your cognitive function. But those neurotransmitters, such as serotonin and dopamine, have a direct impact, you know, on our mental well-being, how we feel, right? So if our microbiome, more specifically, is out of balance, we're going to have issues being at peace, like you're talking about, Henrietta, you know, having that heart-centered, you know, feeling of just, you know, peace and relaxation and love and the things that really all of us aspire to have and be part of on a daily basis. And when we think about that connected to gut health, it doesn't surprise me when we look at, you know, most people's modern health habits or lack thereof, I should say, why so many people struggle in this area and have difficulty getting to the place that you're talking about tonight.
Yeah, it is correct, and it is everything you said is true. I agree. And when we've had trauma, our gut-brain axis is also implicated. So when I speak of the inner child, I might as well speak of the gut-brain, right? So there, anytime there is a hiccup, we go like, or we have a fear-based response. As children, we have no choice. It just reacts, right, until it becomes something that is more gentled. And for children who are neglected, the gut brain is, and the microbiome in this case, is also imbalanced. And the axis between gut and heart and brain, and they're all on the same channel, the vagus nerve branches beautifully, starts at the bottom and then, or actually at, in the brain, and then branches out beautifully into lung, into gut, into kidneys. And it's like little fingers that are going out and testing everything. It is truly an amazing electrical system, and that has impulses and propels itself energetically and creates serotonin is created in the gut. So you're absolutely right. If there is depression, if there is anxiety, if there is things, then we and not enough dopamine, we do need to make sure we get the right digestive aspects and we get the right microbes. And for everyone, that can be just a little bit different, right, the actual microbes. But what we have and what I love, for example, about the absolute clarity of the probiotics is that it says very clearly this product is intended for people who have been on antibiotics. So this is not rocket science, right? The antibiotics clear out everything. They clean out everything, and medical systems still require for dental work, for other work, either systemically or orally, we are to take those enemies of our microbiome, of our microbiota. And so when you get around to a place where you have continuous infections or inflammation, then you have a very difficultly compromised microbiome. Now, serotonin can't be made unless a certain amount of bacteria is present. And there's a really interesting book I was reading a while back about the correlation of the vagus nerve with castor oil packs and with CBD oil. Okay, now the CBD oil would be internal and the castor oil packs would be on the body around across the abdomen. What they both affect is the gut-brain connection by way of the vagus nerve that is invited energetically and substance-wise. So the castor oil also breaks up growth, makes a direct connection with the, by way of the vagus nerve with the, from the gut, the microbiome, to the head. And Zuma's probiotics are a great aid in that, a great help in that. What the other piece to that is, that's another practice, and I know I'm a little all over the place, but actually in the same book I read is that the effect that I just described between the CBD and the castor oil pack, the gut and the brain with the heart in the center and the vagus nerve as the conduit and the signaling device and the sender of chemicals, of metabolites to the brain, is that you can gargle in the shower, for example. I do it in the shower. You lean back and you let the shower hit your throat and you gargle with a loud sound. You know, you would make, but then you would actually be gargling. Apparently, this whole vibration is also very healthy for the microbiome. I just remembered that, Ken, so I thought I'd throw it in because it's so simple, right?
That's fascinating that you shared that because I've never heard that until this very call. And I tell you, I always try to learn something new on these calls. So you know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow morning. I'm going to give that exact suggestion to test.
Yeah. It's very similar and not the same effect and not nearly as famous as the cold rinse after a shower, right?
Right.
Yeah.
One thing that is definitely a good takeaway from this, as we're branching into this gut conversation, is, you know, taking care of the gut, obviously, like you were suggesting, you know, so much of the serotonin is made in the gut. And if that is out of balance, we're going to have issues there. It's interesting. And you've probably seen them like I have, there's studies now that are coming out where literally they're getting people who are in depressed states, who have high anxiety or chronic stress, and they're releasing these people from this burden by simply changing their gut ecology, right? By getting their microbiome corrected. And suddenly they don't need to be on antidepressant drugs anymore, and suddenly they're
that's
not
right.
worried. And that's a combination, of course, of you know, making sure you're not eating junk foods all the time, and also, you know, getting that microbiome shored up. And so I can tell you personally, and for those of you listening, you may have heard me say this before, but it's worth repeating. For me personally, since I was trying to correct my own gut health and microbiome, the Xyome 365 and the probiotics that we have in Zuma have been a huge game changer for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud to also say, Henrietta, as you know as well, lots of people make those same claims about those two
mm-hmm.
products. And part of it is not just in the way maybe they feel in their gut, but I think for a lot of people, and I've noticed this in myself, it does. It changes your being. You just can't help but just feel better in general, because you're not, you know, experiencing all of the maladies that come along with, you know, having an imbalance in that area of your body.
I think another piece to this, and yes, I agree with that as well, but the other piece to this, Ken, is that it feels like we're given permission to have something fun. You know, it's not another herb that, oh my God, how am I going to get this down? It's not another pill. Oh, I'm so tired of all the pills. It's a fuzzy drink. You know, how can you go wrong with a fuzzy drink? I have a client, she's also a friend, but she's a client first, who said, I want my cocktail in the morning. This is my new cocktail. So she loves it.
Yeah, the Xyome 365 is like the cocktail that you can feel really good about.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And she's not a drinker.
Well, one
other
thing I'm going to mention to you, Henrietta, and I know we're getting mm-hmm. near the end of the call, but I want to get your thoughts on this. You know, the one other thing that when we talk about heart health, getting a little bit, you know, in that same parallel, you've heard the statistic, and sadly it's really a true statistic about, you know, people who are under this chronic level of stress or anxiety. You know, not only do they, you know, have things more prevalent like high blood pressure or risks of stroke or arrhythmias, right? But we know that they say that the number one day for somebody to have a heart attack is Monday morning before they're going to work, right?
All this anticipation of disaster, of fear. Maybe you don't like your boss. You probably have a job you don't like. You know, it used to be really famous a few years ago, or famous in terms of almost notorious, that do what you love to do and your fortune will come. Yeah. Okay, so you have to feed a family. What you have to do is not think about let me say it this way. The way I tell people to change it is, give me a reason why you should not have this job, why you should not work where you work, why things should be different than they are. And I'll tell you the reason why I think they are exactly as they're supposed to be. And do you know how I know that? Because they are not anything else other than that. They are what they are. And when you're ready to make the change, you will make it. In the meantime, quit resisting. It is so detrimental to our health, to our well-being, to our happiness. It's the resistance, and that's the thing for Monday morning. You know, we resist what is coming our way because we don't like it, and we think things should be different than they are. I know I've said this before on these calls. It is when you become your own enemy by deciding that you are not liking this, and I wish I were someplace else, and this is horrible, and we all feed into it at the water fountain or wherever that may be. It's a very sad state of affairs. So loving your heart means that you don't listen to gossip, not even your own. I've never said that before. That's kind of good.
That's spot on. Yeah. The self-talk that we have absolutely contributes to that. It
Exactly.
contributes to either a relaxing peacefulness or contributes to a very high stress experience. And
yeah.
that stress is not good for the gut. It's not good for your heart. It's not good for anything. And so this heart-centered, heart-focused message you're delivering today, I think, is one that sadly a lot of people don't hear as much or maybe at all. And it's one that's important because, again, show me somebody that's high stress. Show me that's high anxiety. Show me somebody that eats poorly. I'm going to show you somebody that's going to have a lot of problems in their physical and in their mental well-being. And yet, if we can take and do simple things, like you said, you know, we can focus a little bit more inwardly and not so much on what's going on around us and focus a little bit more on our health, in the specific case, the gut, the microbiome, right? We can minimize those stress opportunities. Man, life gets a whole lot better, especially for your
heart.
It
is a choice. Yeah, especially for your heart. It's a choice, and we have to choose. I mean, that's the same everywhere we are. When we choose what works, we are in good shape. When we fall off the wagon, we fall off track, we are actually, you know, I want to say that a lot of people learn the hard way, but once they learn, they say, okay, I can't eat this, or I can take this, or I don't want to feel this way anymore, so therefore I'm going to be very vigilant with my thoughts. That is what I call it, and that's how I learned it after I'd coined this for myself. I said, all right, I need to be vigilant because the moment I start feeling disconnected or not happy or I find some kind of grumpiness is coming onto me, then I'm realizing that I just thought something that where my mind had made up a reason for I felt this way. Remember, the mind can easily go to a place where it says, this is the feeling I have, and that must mean that something has happened, something's not right, I am not enough, da-da-da-da-da. And before you end up in the rabbit hole in the Grand Canyon, take hold, say stop, or I want to feel good. These are the very simple, even stupid sounding things that actually do work, because we have to find a way by which we can take control and take charge of whatever errant thoughts might want to make us feel poorly.
I think that's perfect advice and a great way to end our call tonight, Henrietta. So
okay. Yeah.
Great information. I love the exchange as always. We've always got more to share than we usually have time for, but I appreciate all the contributions on this topic tonight.
Thank you.
All right, folks, and I want to thank you for listening in tonight. As always, we appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to be here. Remember, this is a recorded call. I encourage you to pick it up and share it with anybody you think could be helped or benefited by this. And again, I encourage you to join us again in the month of March, first and third Thursday. We'll be back here with more great information. Until then, take care. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.